From the book of Jonah, chapter 4, 1 to 11. Jonah was very indignant. He fell into a rage. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, is not this just as I said would happen when I was still at home? That was why I went and fled to Tarshish. I know that you were a God of tenderness and compassion, slow to anger, rich in graciousness, relenting from evil. So now, Lord, please take away my life, for I might as well be dead as go on living." The Lord replied, "Are you right to be angry?" Jonah then went out of the city and sat down to the east of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God arranged that a castor oil plant should grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head and soothe his ill humor. Jonah was delighted with the castor oil plant, but at dawn the next day, God arranged that a worm should attack the castor oil plant, and it withered. Next, when the sun arose, God arranged that there should be a scorching east wind. The sun beat down so hard on Jonah's head that he was overcome and begged for death, saying, "I might as well be dead as go on living." God said to Jonah, "Are you right to be angry about the castor oil plant?" Jonah replied, "I have every right to be angry to the point of death." The Lord replied, "You are only upset about a castor oil plant, which cost you no labor, which you did not make grow, which sprouted in a night and has perished in a night. And am I not to feel sorry for Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, to say nothing of all the animals?" Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "Say this when you pray: Father, may your name be held holy, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive each one who is in debt to us, and do not put us to the test." Our reflection on today's readings. Firstly, our gospel reading from Luke tells us how Jesus gave his disciples the great prayer of the Our Father. When they asked him to teach us to pray, he gave them a prayer. However, if you go to the parallel passage in chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus instructs his disciples not to pile up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, but to pray in this way. And then he teaches them how to pray via the Our Father. So if we, and after all, we're the Gentiles, if we pray like this, we can be confident that we pray as Jesus wants, as Jesus' disciples. Now, the fascinating thing about the Our Father from these two gospel passages is that it is both the perfect prayer and the perfect teaching, or Torah, about how to pray. We need to remember that Jesus was a Jew and therefore was steeped in the Jewish tradition of prayer that is contained in the Psalms. And it's well recognized that as a prayer, the Our Father provides a concise summary or synthesis of the book of Psalms that we also call the Psalter. This book of 150 Psalms contains songs of praise, psalms of thanksgiving, prayers of petition, prayers that ask for forgiveness, and cries of lament when a person feels threatened by overpowering evil. The Our Father, short a prayer though it is, invokes all these in its own unique way. So, It begins with praise, as we say, "Hallowed be your name." Then thanksgiving for God's salvific purpose, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Then petition, we ask for our daily bread. For forgiveness of our sins, as we are meant to forgive those who sin against us. And finally, an appeal to be delivered from evil, the terrifying test. One can see that there is an enormous tradition of prayer, therefore, enshrined in the Our Father. The importance of the Our Father as a teaching about prayer, and not just as a prayer, and of our need to be taught how to pray properly, can be seen if we reflect briefly on the first reading from the book of Jonah. In this intriguing little story, Jonah, the prophet, was sent to preach a dire message to the great Assyrian capital of Nineveh. Contrary to Jonah's expectations, when the inhabitants heard the message, they repented. And their repentance, in the story, is more than enough for God to have complete mercy on them. This, however, is repulsive to Jonah, who can only see the Ninevites from the perspective of a victim of a marauding superpower. After all, Assyria dominated the ancient Near East for centuries. And in Jonah's eyes, as a representative of his people, the Ninevites deserved to be destroyed for what they had done to Israel. He cannot give thanks for their change of heart. He cannot pray for their welfare. But this little book promotes the shocking conviction that God will forgive even Israel's worst enemy and God's worst enemy. Hence, there is an important challenge for Israel here, and of course for any reader of the book of Jonah. In the passage that we have for today's liturgy, God, like Jesus in the Our Father scene in Luke's Gospel, is portrayed as the good teacher, trying to get Jonah to see things from God's perspective, to see the Ninevites as those who, as the story says, cannot tell their right hand from their left. In other words, God invites Jonah to see the Ninevites like himself. After all, poor old Jonah is so fixated on his perception of things that he can't tell his right hand from his left either. The story ends at this point, and we are not told Jonah's reply to God's question. Personally, I think the storyteller did this deliberately, inviting you and me to reflect on whether we are prepared to be merciful to others as God is merciful to us. As we pray in the Our Father, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us."